Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 215, Tom. Can you even start to believe that?
Buongiorno, no, I can't.
Whoa, that was very Italian.
And pretending I've been on a holiday when I've not.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I went on one for a family, it was a family wedding. Now, that sounds weird. That sounds like a whole family got married to another family. It was a cousin's wedding. My cousin, no, that sounds
that
weird
sounds
as well.
Weirder too.
My cousin got married to somebody outside the family.
Better.
That's it.
Better.
But the whole family went.
Congrats to both you and the cousin.
Thank
and
you.
Whomever the cousin chose to marry.
Thank you so
legally,
much.
Legally, I hope.
Very much legally. Okay. And I thank you for the congratulations on their behalf.
Good. Aren't you fancy getting out of town?
I was so out of town, I was nearly at another border. I was nearly in Queensland.
For people that live not in Australia, borders for us are actually quite far away and spread out. We don't have 50 states.
No, we don't like look tiny like Europe.
No, we have 7. One of them's broken out into an island.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah, and 2 of them are territories and don't count.
Are they territories just because they don't have the population? I assume that, right? Or is there another reason?
I think it's Big Brother's keeping them down.
Bloody Big Brother.
It's something constitutional.
Okay.
I don't know what. I'm not a political lawyer.
Oh.
Surprising as that may be.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what we can do with the next one. The next podcast, I mean, we'll try and get a political lawyer in. We'll organise it and then forget why we've invited them.
I don't want to do that.
Great. Let's not do it then. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by the unrelenting desire to snack before dinner. Only way to stop this from happening is to eat at 5 p.m. After 22 years of walking only uphill, in the snow, with the wild animals attacking, Jason Pemberton has quit his paperboy job and will now be focusing on sending spam emails online. He said the scars, frostbite and massive thighs from all the steep incline walking will be reminders for years to come of the fun and exciting adventures his career has taken him on. Of course, we all remember when the tornado scooped him up and dropped him off in Emerald City. Took the poor bloke 2 weeks to walk his way home. Many were angered that their newspapers weren't delivered during that time and had to rely on the social media algorithm to find out what was going on in the world. Here's to you, Jason, and your new annoying job. Ricky Alderwood has made the bold statement this week that he will no longer be taking part in any Lord of the Rings reenactment parties. This has come as a shock to all who know him because he's not only the founder and organiser of the monthly events, but was also once awarded the massive fan "Please Leave Me Alone, You're Scaring Me" title by Peter Jackson. If anyone is interested in taking over, all the local Tolkien fans will be most pleased with somebody organising them. There's a reward of free broken light bulbs to anyone who has information regarding the terrible spilt milk disaster in South Watchersville earlier this week. More than 55 tonnes, litres, lots and lots of dairy juice was accidentally let to wash over the roads, into homes, businesses and the schools after someone didn't put the lid on our big milk bottle before the latest tornado. Now everything stinks and the forecast is for a southerly to come through the area, so the rest of the town is about to get a whiff of the sour milk. Fun! That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. I have got a great quiz for you. Your job in it is not to answer the questions too quickly.
All right. I got to pump the brakes.
Yeah, I think just a little pause so that, you know,
maybe
for those playing at home.
If I get it, maybe I can offer mystery clues.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Maybe I'll join in.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea. You got a fun fact?
I do.
Brilliant.
I'm not telling you anything more than that.
Oh, but I like the surprise, so I don't want to hear any more. I feel like I did the news first last time, so why don't you kick it off?
Sure. Well, look, this is a rambly story to get to the news point.
That's okay.
But
we need background sometimes.
Jackass Forever is coming out this week. I'm quite excited. Weirdly so. I've enjoyed all the trailers. It's strangely nostalgic. So yeah. I thought I'll watch Jackass the movie again, get myself caught up. I am interested to see how this new movie will go because – some of the shit they used to do is really problematic to look back on now.
Yeah, I bet.
There's a lot of stuff with Jason Wee Man Acuna, who's a little person.
Yes.
That would not fly today. Likewise, okay. Preston, who is the quite large.
The larger bloke. They were often paired together, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. And some of that stuff is just a bit much.
Yeah, right.
A bit much these days. Pretty. Bam Margera won't be in the film because he's had we'll say.
He's having some issues.
He's having some issues. That's a really good way to put it in a way that doesn't amount in libel for us.
Yeah.
He's having some issues, so he's out. And that's great because almost everything to do with him is just bullying his parents or being a real asshole.
I remember he had that show, like his solo show, and it was
Viva
all about
La Bam.
That was it. Yeah, it was all about his parents and there was some other guy or...
I think Ryan Dunn was in that one with him.
Maybe, yeah.
He is horrible to them. And it was one of those things that when you're 16, that's funny.
Yeah.
As a 37-year-old, that shit ain't funny at all. He's just an awful person.
Now, I'm going to get a little bit sidetracked, but I remember there were Scandinavian, I can't remember what country, maybe
the
Sweden.
Dudesons.
The Dudesons. And then there was the Welsh guys.
Yes.
Those two were rough. One was like, let's do really super dangerous stuff. And the other one was like, let's just do really super gross stuff. They were like the extremes of Jackass.
Yes.
It was crazy.
It is funny to see how the web of Jackass has spread out because Eric Andre very much falls into that category.
Yeah, right.
And then in a weird way, so does someone like Joe Pera, even though he's doing a completely calm, collected kind of, and not stunts, but still messing with the public and things. I don't know. There's a whole realm of... I'm just fascinated to see how they will do it in today's far more politically correct climate. Now, I know they've all, the cast is more diverse in terms of ethnicity and gender.
And age as well, right?
Age. I think that's going to do a great deal to help.
Mm.
But Johnny Knoxville has been out doing the tour. You know his name's Phil Clapp?
No, I didn't know that.
That's his real name.
Phil. Oh.
Yeah, someone put up a tweet the other day. It was like, imagine what Johnny Knoxville's life would be like if he hadn't gone for Jackass. And I'll tell you why in a second.
Mm.
Someone's like, hi, I'm Johnny Knoxville. Hi, I'm Phil Clapp. Welcome to Walmart. the reason why all this is going. So apparently Lorne Michaels, who's the head of Saturday Night Live, he offered Johnny Knoxville a solo spot on the show before Jackass happened. As in, every episode you get 3 to 5 minutes to do what you want. So this is 10 years before The Lonely Island. So Albert Brooks, I think, used to have that role on SNL. He used to get to do weird interstitials. Yeah. And then you had Robert Smigel doing the animated
stuff. That's right, all the animated stuff,
so they've experimented with different people having their own segment within. And so having a daredevil stuntman was the idea. And from what it sounds like, it was a very lucrative offer. And it basically it dropped in Knoxville's lap a week or two before they were about to shoot the pilot for Jackass. And it was do you back yourself?
Yeah.
Or do you back your crew?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he made the right call.
Yeah, definitely.
But
you can still imagine he would have had success and popularity on SNL, but it may not have been as long.
And I think, I don't know how much success because there's a bit of a track record for very odd or different comedians coming onto SNL and being watered down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or not having their genuine style pushed through.
Mm.
And as he's evolved, he's gotten far more dangerous. And that's not something.
No. That's not something a free-to-air network.
Live.
Yeah.
Can you imagine them broadcasting him dying on air?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's...
That'd be the end of the show.
That's what it would have come down to.
Gee whiz.
Getting shot.
So how are you going to watch this latest Jackass movie? Like, is it available for us?
I believe it was at cinemas. It's coming to the cinemas everywhere. So I'm going to go to the cinema because I went to cinema and saw Spider-Man again the other day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got brave.
Nice.
Went with my mate.
What was the crowd like?
We're in a gold class and there were only six other people.
Perfect.
So, you know, I timed it well. I looked into it and stuff. So I'll see when I go. It might be a daytime thing on Friday because the kids are back at school.
Oh, that's nice.
So less crowds.
That's very jealous.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
I saw, so when was it? About a week ago. There was that massive news that Xbox had bought Activision and Blizzard. Now, these are the people that make Call of Duty, Overwatch.
Warcraft.
Three massive titles that are actually series now, right?
Yes.
I would say. Anyway, there's also been a whole heap of controversy surrounding Activision and Blizzard, and you can look that up. I'm not going through it all now because when I listen to it on podcasts, it's all a bit gross, so I phase out.
It's very gross and...
We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to. But the thing is, right, people were like, oh my gosh, that's massive because PlayStation has like this exclusive with Call of Duty so that they get certain things, maybe like map packs or something, like first. Like that's where you get it first. Play it first on PlayStation. And what's it going to do when it's suddenly on Xbox, right? Which it used to be anyway, I think. I think it's kind of swapped around. But it was massive, like 60 odd.
78 million. Sorry, 78 billion.
That's crazy, US. Well, we heard that at least for the next year or two, Call of Duty will stay on PlayStation. Yeah. There's no exclusivity
yet. I believe the next three titles.
Oh, well, then that's at least 3 years confirmed. Then. Yeah, that's great. Sony went ahead this week and bought Bungie, who are the Destiny people. And funnily enough, which I didn't know because I don't really know Halo that well, but they made Halo, the original Halo.
Which was the original Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, isn't that funny the way they swap around?
And people are like, oh, have they done this to get back at Xbox? No, apparently this has been in the works for 6+ months.
Oh, my gosh, it would have to have been in the works for a very long time. It's been a long time
behind the scenes.
Now, they were, of course, asked almost within seconds whether it, Destiny would end up being an exclusive to PlayStation. And the answer was no. It's going to be PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. Mm. So I think there's going to be a little bit of playing nice between these two guys for a while.
And I think it also benefits everybody to not set up too much walled gardens.
Yep.
It's less and less about the hardware.
Yeah, totally. I reckon that we will see something like an X, what's it called? Xbox Games Pass, on a Sony platform.
Well, I have PlayStation Plus, which is not the same at all. Mm. It's fine.
Mm.
So, hey, here's 12 games you can download and try. Mm. All of them are like 20, 25 bucks if you go to a shop.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's not the latest games or something like that. Whereas Xbox One is Netflix. Play everything that you can. Here's what's on at the moment. New stuff coming next month.
And if stuff's going, you can buy it.
Yeah.
Before you, yeah.
Yeah.
They're very busy. They're so busy doing things, those two. And Nintendo just kind of sits there and goes.
Well, Nintendo's busy elsewhere. Can I tell you where?
Yeah.
All right. So Universal, we've talked about this at least a year ago, that they're planning the Universal Epic Universe theme park.
That's such a great name.
Isn't it? Well, it just really doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't.
The UEU. they have confirmed this week that everything is on track for them to open in 2025. Mm. Everyone kind of, you know, they made big announcements pre-COVID and everyone assumed during COVID, all right, this has to have knocked a lot. No, it's they're charging ahead with it.
Cool.
But nestled within that bit of news was the fact that Universal Studios Hollywood should be getting Super Nintendo World this year. They've been building it for a couple of years now.
You showed me like a artist's interpretation and it looked really super realistic. Pretty cool.
So the one in Japan was open for a while and then it closed because of some COVID concerns and a few other things and they've added to it already.
Yeah, right.
So I believe it is the Mario-themed area that will be opening Hollywood. I don't know if Donkey Kong will be there at the start, or, you know, if that gets added later, or what.
So is, wait, was Donkey Kong always planned to be there, or is Donkey Kong in Japan?
Japan opened with Mario.
Right.
And has Donkey Kong opening soon.
Okay, okay.
And that's their adjacent secondary backup land, whatever, yep, to it. Epic Universe will have both,
mm-hmm,
and potentially Link, like Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hollywood, I know, has Mario.
Okay. Well, Mario's your standard, right?
That's enough.
Yeah. Let's get some Mario Karts cool, in there.
That's great. So that should be later this year, and that's, you know, I know you're keen to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get over to Hollywood. Go to Japan. Go to Super Mario World.
Bit of fun. Well, haven't they banned doing the Mario Karts through, mm-hmm, like the streets of Tokyo? So this is probably the only place you can do that kind of thing now, right?
Yep.
I assume.
Everyone's still waiting to see when the Mario Kart will be added.
It has to be.
Slow hanging fruit.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if you're allowed to do like the dressing up, because you can't dress up in a lot of, no, you can't Disney, dress up in Disney.
Universal's, yeah, a lot more lenient.
Okay.
Because they have less people. Their characters exist within very clearly demarked areas where Disney staff are called cast, and so everyone's
okay,
part of the story.
Yeah. It's quite convoluted. It's very convoluted. I'm not on board with it, but I also, sometimes you need to pick your battles, and that's not really my battle to pick. So, speaking of battles, this is not a link to one of those. Jennifer Beale.
Yes.
She's left Tatooine and she's back on Earth. She's landed a role on season 2 of NBC's Law and Order, Organized Crime.
Ding, ding. Is that Law and Order?
I think that's
Law and Order. I've never watched an episode of Law and Order.
I think I've watched half. It's been going since what, 1855?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a really long running show. She's going to play the wife of a drug kingpin in New York, so she might have to have like a cool New York accent.
So, and is that an issue they'll deal with throughout the season, or is it for an episode she pops up?
Well, I think it's reoccurring. So maybe within the episodes they will have, you know, the one and done, solve that crime.
Yeah.
But because it's an organized crime show, that there's probably underlying storylines and arcs going through as they try and get all the different crime drug
guys. Is she married to Timberlake, or am I thinking of someone else?
I actually don't know who she's married to.
Timberlake, wasn't he married to, maybe I'm thinking, is there a Jessica Biel?
Oh, you're thinking Jessica Biel.
Jennifer Biel.
Jennifer Biel, she's Flashdance.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know they're two different people.
I understand what's happened there. So, she's been in Law and Order, Jennifer.
I've done it to you, I'm sorry.
Not Jessica, has been in the Law and Order proper as a one-off character in 2007. So that's long enough ago that she can appear in like the spin-off. Apparently this is like the second season of this organized crime spin-off.
Sure.
What was the other show that had
SVU.
SVU.
IT. So you tell me these criminals, they
the forensic, is that the forensic one, or is that a different one? No, forensic was CSI. They had like 45 of those too, didn't they?
I think so. And then there was one with the guy putting sunglasses on at the beach in Miami, and the music goes, wow.
I don't want to watch that show, but I just want to see that bit.
I don't know what one that was. Everyone listening is probably going, oh, you idiot, it's this. It's very popular.
Yeah, but you can't watch everything. So
you can't.
Leave us alone. Wow. So aggressive. Tom, can you please avoid all hurt feelings and tell us a story?
Sure. So Movie World on the Gold Coast, Warner Brothers Movie World, is doing some teasing on social at the moment. Now, of course, most of their, well, pretty much everything they've got is related to some sort of IP or property, from films and things like that. They have plenty of access to what they want. So, you know, they had a Police Academy stunt show.
They used to have Beetlejuice?
They did. Beetlejuice and the Gremlins were on a ride together.
Oh, spooky.
They went through a studio tour that the Gremlins ruined, and Beetlejuice came and saved the day, and it fucked up both of their canon. anyway, I'm not. I was 12 and bothered.
It annoyed you. Bothered. Yeah, I can see. Like, I can see
no
that.
No one summoned Beetlejuice. Why is he here?
Oh, that's brilliant.
Anyway, they are teasing at the moment. So for many years they had a, I believe it's called an inverted swing Vekoma type roller coaster called Lethal Weapon, colon, the ride.
Right.
And in 2012, that got a massive overhaul, and because they were, had just opened the Green Lantern roller coaster, converted that into, and I'm going to check the name properly, Arkham Asylum Shock Therapy.
Ooh, sounds good.
Yes. So it changed all the queue and everything like that. There was the Joker laughing throughout the ride. There were music behind you and stuff, so Harley would sneak up and whisper in your ear. All sorts of cool stuff. So they decommissioned that coaster, I think it was late 2020. Something like that. Hmm? It had a good 20-year run.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know what I mean? No, I'm not angry then.
Roller coaster, it was probably my favourite roller coaster in the world, definitely my favourite in Australia. So I've been sad that it's gone ever since then. Anyway, so there's all this teasing happening. There's some rumours going, and we should find out today or tomorrow, definitely what. But there's rumours that we'll be getting two roller coasters in that space, one of which is known as a dual boomerang. So boomerang... Do you remember the demon that used to be at
Wonderland?
So that was the one that was open at the end at two things, and you go up and come back down. I believe there's something along the lines of that. And then a suspension coaster that may be more family friendly, but suspension is hung from above.
Yep.
Thing. So your legs
dangle. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. That demon one, always, I always thought... That's going to make me throw up.
Nah, it's good.
It's okay.
Loved it.
I would be, I don't know.
I don't know if I've talked about this on air. I know I've told you before, but being upside down on a roller coaster, I don't know why, but it's like doing yoga for me.
That's so funny.
It's this, that moment when you get upside down and your brain inverts and all the blood rushes. For some reason, it's like having a spiritual cleanse. And I am calmer for the next 2 months afterwards.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. So I'm going through serious theme park withdrawals from COVID. Fuck you, COVID.
Because you need to zen yourself.
I just need to rattle the shit in my brain out.
You've just reminded me, there was a, I think it might have even been his first thing he did with Giant Bomb, right? Dan Reichert. Do you remember him? He was, he's very funny but almost unintentionally,
okay,
right?
Sure.
And he likes all those older retro games like your Mario Game Boy stuff. So he got permission for them to film on a roller coaster somewhere, I don't know where, and they had Game Boys or something, a handheld game, the Nintendo thing, gaffer taped to their wrists so that they had to go around the roller coaster, which was, you know, doing all the loop-de-loops and everything, and see who would get further in this whatever Mario game it was. And he went really well. I reckon he was zenning out like you do.
It's a thing. It's not just me. I know to people listening that sounds weird, but it's a genuine coaster thing.
Isn't that funny?
There's something to do. It's a controlled chaos. You're giving yourself over to fear, but it's fear that you know will pan out well.
Like a movie.
Yeah.
If you're watching a movie.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how it works, but every fucking time it does. Just shakes my brain loose.
That's so cool.
So I want to head up there soon. Anyway, because Dreamworld has opened their new roller coaster, which they've spent millions of dollars on.
What's that one called?
Steel Taipan, I believe.
Ooh, that sounds
good. That's like Australia's first triple launch coaster. So
what's that mean?
So a launch is the speed up bit. Mm-hmm. So most coasters, you have a launch at the beginning, or you either have a launch, which is from a stopped start, go, or you have a hill lift, which is...
Yeah.
They're the two tone. Yeah. So a triple launch means you will go, basically, you leave the station, it launches you backwards up one of those open-ended bits that I was talking about. It comes back down quick and goes through the launch again, but the other direction. So you've gone, and then the inertia of coming down hits you at a good speed. You hit the launch, you will go even faster. And then further down the track somewhere, I believe there's another launch that launches you back towards the station.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I wonder how long each ride takes on that kind of thing.
Almost 2 minutes, which is a really, like, Australia's longest runtime.
That's cool.
Steel
Taipan. Cool.
Don't be jealous. They've been chatting online with babes all day. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I've also been chatting with babes all day. Yep, online.
Now, Shay was talking last week about how much she loves the film Encanto.
She certainly does.
Well, apparently a lot of other people do. But more importantly, I'm talking about the song that she sang, which was We Don't Talk About Bruno, because that has made it to the number one spot on the Billboard Hottest 100 song charts over in the US. Of course, it's got a whole heap of the cast that perform it, but it's only the second ever number one that a Disney animated film has gotten. I'm not sure what the first one was. I mean, I would imagine it has to be something like from Lion King or... But no, that wasn't even sung in it. Would it have been something from maybe Aladdin?
I lean towards Aladdin, Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid.
Maybe Beauty and the Beast. Because Celine Dion, did she do Beauty and the Beast?
Yep, she did.
But it might just be Let It Go.
But they're not even...
From Frozen. Yeah. That's...
I heard that song a lot over the
or
weekend.
Or it's something Mickey Mouse Club.
Let It Go, though. I think you might be onto something with that one.
It
would make sense, right?
Yeah.
So this means that Lin-Manuel Miranda has gotten himself his first top 100 spot, which is funny, right?
I don't know. Hamilton songs definitely cracked it.
But they didn't get the number one.
Not number one. Yeah, you're right.
Just so you know, Bruno, the song alone, over in the US alone, has been played 34.9 million times. That's up 8%.
That's too many times.
That's a lot of times to hear that song.
It's going to be a whole theatre kid generation fucked up by Lin-Manuel.
They'll all be trying to do the rapping and the singing.
That's it. 8 years from now, every theatre production is just going to be overblown and lyrical.
Congratulations, Lin-Manuel.
Congrats. I've told you I'm enjoying Peacemaker very much.
Yeah.
With John Cena. It's looking likely that a season two will happen, which everyone kind of suspected. But the first one is great.
So how far into it? It's about halfway now, right?
Yeah,
because you got the first three, right?
We're five. We got three the first week, yep. And then one last Friday of the week before that.
Yeah, okay.
And I think there's... three more episodes? It's either eight or nine episodes all up, something like that. But, yeah, James Gunn's talking about the fact that he's very keen to do a second season of that.
It's gone really well.
And he's already planning an additional spin-off from the Suicide Squad following someone else.
Do you have any ideas who that could be?
I mean, the logical suggestion is Ratcatcher 2, the young lady that could communicate with rats. She had a cool storyline. But... on the flip side, spoilers, Peacemaker's about a guy that died in that movie.
Yeah, right. So it's anyone's game.
Yeah. I mean, I would love it if it was Javelin, who was the German guy that could throw a javelin real well. He's played by Flula Borg from Pitch Perfect 2 and a few other things. Hilarious German guy. I would happily watch a TV show about a pathetic hero like that.
Yeah, mix it up a bit.
Yep.
Have a bit of a difference. Well, that's cool. I mean, I would imagine if the second season is going to go ahead, which it sounds like it will, they should release it around the same time next year.
Well, you'd think that, but James Gunn wrote the entirety of this season, and he wrote it during COVID because he needed to stop himself from going insane. So he banged out 8 episodes in 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. It will depend on his commitments to Guardians of the Galaxy and whatever.
What if he does like a Jon Favreau thing where, like the Mandalorian's his thing? Yeah.
I say this really nicely, but I think the Book of Boba Fett is showing that the quality control is not quite there when he's not as hands-on.
Yeah, right.
I say that with love, Boba. You're doing your best.
It's a long time on Tatooine. Although...
it's just everyone...
we didn't see...
everyone flipped out over this recent episode. And it had nothing to do with your show, mate.
Yeah,
that's all. I
must say, Favreau, I did enjoy that episode too.
Is it Fellini or Filoni? One of the Fellini is a director.
Filoni
from back in the day, probably Dave Filoni. We'll go with. I feel confident.
The guy who knows his stuff.
Abe, correct me in private.
That's right.
Yeah. I got a trailer though.
Oh, well, I've still got a couple more stories.
Oh, hit me.
Don't even trailer me hit yet, me. Right? Are you one of those people that have been playing Wordle?
No.
So many people do.
They do, I've noticed.
I don't understand it, but I'm sure it's a lot of fun. I just haven't yet.
Linz and Jay both play it.
Yeah, well, they can play it safe in the knowledge that they're playing it through the New York Times now, because New York Times has bought it for the low seven figures. I don't know how much that is, but it sounds like not an Activision acquisition.
You reckon they're going to put it behind a paywall?
They said no changes will be made to its gameplay, and it will remain free to play.
That's one way to get the bloody clicks up to your site.
Well, the thing is, right, they've got a whole heap of those sort of games.
Yeah.
You know, they're crosswords and everything.
Yeah, I'm a good Sudoku.
Yeah. So I think maybe they'll be using Wordle as a way to get people in so they can pay the subscription and get the newspaper, the whatever else you get in the games. Wordle.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So you know E1, so it's E and then 1 as in the spell.
O-N-E.
O-N-E, yeah. So they're making Dungeons & Dragons TV universe. Like they're gonna start with a show, one show, and they want to make it really good. And so they've gotten Rawson Marshall Thurber, I think his name is, the guy from Red Notice. Like he was the filmmaker that did that with Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson and Gal Gadot. So they've gotten him. He will be writing and directing the pilot script as well as executive producing the rest of this, however long this first season series is going to go.
I hope it's going to be like Bandersnatch. What's the point of doing anything Dungeons & Dragons don't have control?
We don't have any control over it.
The higher reason that universe works
really
is
bizarre.
Because it's you creating yourself as a character.
And that's exactly what I was like. I was struggling to figure out how they're going to do it. And I think you're on the right track, right? Because when you listen to names like, you know, Rawson Marshall Thurber, like he did Red Notice. Who was that for? Netflix. Think about the show Stranger Things. Mm. What is a lot of that show based on? Dungeons and Dragons. I think Netflix is probably going to pick this up.
Sure.
It would make sense, right? And they're the people that did Bandersnatch. So maybe...
And they've got Arcane, League of Legends. They've got Critical Vox. They love... They've got so much bloody Transformers that they paid for. They love this sort of stuff.
Those robots in disguise.
Yeah.
So keep your eye out for that, and also keep your ear out for any Dungeons and Dragons groups that you want to.
I can hear the cries of "Begone, Flump!" from here.
What is that?
A Flump is like a floating pink weird mouth demon. You know those mouth demons from Doom that float?
I hate those.
They're based on Flump.
Oh, I hate them. They're horrible. Mm. Well, I would say Begone. Are they in all Dungeons and Dragons?
No, but it's a pretty old OG thing. And they recently did a Dungeons and Dragons Magic the Gathering crossover. Boom. I tell you what, Year 6 Tom would have been very interested in that.
It sounds like something that should have happened years ago. Are you saying you're too old to enjoy?
No, I'm just saying.
You would have enjoyed more.
Lunchtimes in Year 6 were Magic the Gathering. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, good memories. Good memories.
I like doing a bit of DM. I was a bit of a dungeon master. I enjoyed telling the story rather than playing the story.
Yeah,
nerd.
Being the puppet.
I like
the puppet master. I mean,
I like to put my petition up. No one, you can't see my notes.
You can't see what I'm doing.
Fuck you. Roll it.
All right. You said you had a trailer.
Speaking of rolling the dice.
Yes. Oh gosh.
I saw a trailer. Pardon me. Speaking of rolling the dice, I saw a trailer. Speaking of rolling the dice, I saw a trailer for a series that didn't interest me when it was first announced. It still hasn't particularly interested me, but I think my brother Mike is going to be all over because he was a Halo fan from back in the day.
Oh, look out.
Did you see the trailer that dropped that's coming to Paramount Plus in March?
I have heard finally a show has – I mean, I don't pay any attention to Halo, right? Mm. But I feel like there's been talk about a Halo television series for about 45 years.
It's been coming for a very, very long time, like 10 plus years.
That's a long time.
I think it stars Pablo Schreiber. I know he was in there at one point. He was the
Master Chief?
He's Master Chief, but he was the leprechaun on American Gods, if that helps you place Pablo Schreiber.
Yeah, he's great. I love him.
And there are parts in the trailer that look very inspired by The Mandalorian.
Okay.
As in having sci-fi shootouts in the Old West.
Well, I mean, that's what the game is. So.
It's what the game is, and it is a trope of the genre and this sort of stuff. But it does look like it's wearing its influences quite.
So this will be interesting, right? Because in Halo, doesn't everybody wear a helmet? I mean, I know he does in Mandalorian, like Mando wears one in Mandalorian, but not everybody does. Do they all wear? Okay, they don't all wear.
No, so he is. And I'm sure the show will be different, but and I only have a smattering of Halo lore knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, Master Chief is kind of like the last of the super soldier type heroes.
Right.
Others pop up throughout, some in memory, some back from the dead, this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he is, I'll use a Warhammer example. He is a space marine. He is an enhanced human standing 8 foot tall type thing,
mm-hmm.
who will often fight alongside very highly trained but still human soldiers.
Okay, okay.
But then there was some game where there were like 5 Spartans and there was a pink and a yellow and blah, 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 blah. So
it's too many colors. Like I Power thought it was Rangers. Red and blue. Do you
Red and blue is when you're playing multiplayer.
Oh,
this,
okay.
This is the confusing
storyline.
Green one, Master Chief.
Right.
In the game, the narrative game, I think he's solo. At least at the beginning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't fucking know. I don't follow. But
you know that new Halo that's out, people really, really love it. It's very popular. So the people who have been spending 10, 15 years working on this television show must be like, oh, yes, we fast track this now.
Yep.
Get it while it's hot.
Yep. This new Halo game is the first well-received one in several years.
Yeah.
So the timing is right.
I think sometimes with stuff like that, you need to give the audience or the gamers or whatever, you need to give them a few years break.
Yep.
So they miss it. So
they don't doesn't turn into Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, exactly.
Which has a good one every couple of years. Or a Call of Duty, where everyone knows when Treyarch is dropping their game, or you know, Infinity Ward's one.
They're the one.
What your preference is the ones you get excited for.
Yeah,
you're going to wait a 3 to 4 year cycle.
That's true. You can always play Warzone, but I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore. I want to be.
Get out of my dreams.
Do, 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 do.
Get into my fun fact mobile. It's a fun fact mobile, and it's coming at you. Because it's something I'm going to talk about for this week. I've been thinking about pandemics.
Why?
So I'll talk about that in a minute. But the fun fact I have for you today is a double prong one about 12 monkeys.
Yes.
Which you'll recall is Brad Pitt and Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Willis is a time traveler attempting to stop a pandemic kicking off in the past that ruins things for the future and weirdly plays out as a nice companion piece to Looper that he would do some 15 years later or something. Anyway, Terry Gilliam, of course, from Monty Python, was the director. He was afraid that Brad Pitt wouldn't be able to pull off the nervous, rapid speech. So he sent him away to a speech coach. But in the end, the coach just took away Pitt's cigarettes and Pitt played the part exactly as Gilliam had intended. Just put him through withdrawal and just sitting there fucking...
beside himself.
Yep. Itchy, itchy. Terry Gilliam, on the other hand, he gave Bruce Willis a list of Willis acting cliches not to be used during the film, including the steely blue-eyed look. And you hear that phrase and you're like, oh, yeah, you mean the Bruce Willis face.
Yeah, he kind of almost pouts his lips a little when he does it.
Yep. Come out to the car. Didn't want any of that. How cool's that?
That movie was good. I watched it years after it had been released and everything, and it became the hit. And it's got cult status.
TV series readaptation.
That's right. Yeah. Was it before or after Fight Club? Might have been before.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was 97, maybe 96.
Yeah,
somewhere in there. Fight Club was 99.
Now that you've said that, I think Brad Pitt took some of that energy into the Fight Club character.
He got jacked for Snatch and Fight Club. So he got real skinny to do 12 Monkeys and something else. I can't remember what. But then
one with the the head in the box?
Seven.
Mm. Was that around then? Might have been a bit of...
Seven was 97.
Okay.
I think. Ooh, no. Maybe Usual Suspects.
He was busy.
It was Usual Suspects, 95 something. Yeah, it must have been 97. Brad Pitt was very busy. He was having a moment.
Yeah, he certainly was. What a great fun fact. Thank you very much for that one.
You're so welcome.
We've got a quiz coming up for you very soon, which Tom is going to blitz through. So we'll be pausing, pretending to think about the answers. But I'm pretty sure he's going to get all of them really, really quickly. But
we'll see.
Well, no, I think I know.
You know.
Okay. I know. Okay. Why don't we get into some watching suggestions?
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Have you been watching anything?
I have been watching things. I'm going to start with one thing that's very quick. We'll move past it. But I do enjoy the show Scooby-Doo and Guess Who?
Oh, yeah.
This is where celebrities come on and solve a mystery. Sometimes they're the bad guy. Rarely. Normally they're an assistant. So there's this season I've seen Macklemore and Jason Sudeikis. And there's been some real fun options and stuff. But there was one episode at the end of this season that was one of the funniest meta things I have seen in a long time. Mm. The gang get excited because they're going to meet and hang out with famed voice actors Frank Welker, Matthew Lillard, Kate McCucci and Greg Griffin. So it's an episode of them fanboy and fangirling over themselves. And no one listening is going to end up watching, so I'll spoil it. The bad guy ends up being all of them because they secretly want to have a turn at playing each other's characters. So they're, you know, Matthew Lillard kidnaps Frank Welker and hides him because he wants to have a try at doing Scooby-Doo.
Does he do it?
Yes, quite poorly. But that's
intentionally,
the joke.
Yeah.
And like Matthew Lillard's talking as Matthew Lillard, the voice is much deeper and he's super cool. And everyone, wow, it's famed director, actor, activist Matthew Lillard. Everyone gets introduced that way, that sort of thing. But then, like, you get very rare moments of him talking to Shaggy. Mm. So they don't interact with themselves until the very end of the episode where they get to pretend to be the actors to try and trick the bad guys, and it all comes revealed.
I mean, this
is so convoluted.
It's convoluted and it sounds great, but did you struggle to
follow? No.
Oh, that's good.
At the most chaotic scene, Kate McCucci, she's in Garfunkel and Oates.
Yes.
She just runs around singing an impromptu song while playing a ukulele. So, I don't know. It just had a real – it's Scooby-Doo, so it's a nice vibe anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, it was all these people just really patting each other on the back, not themselves.
That's so funny.
It's very clever. It was good fun.
That was 100% the season finale, right?
No, I think there was like two or three episodes after that.
It sounds like a season finale.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. No,
they do some odd stuff.
Speaking of odd stuff, I sat down and I watched a show with one of our favourites. We call her Kristen Bell because that's her name. And I watched it and the show is, are you ready? I'm going to try and do this all in one breath.
Take a deep breath.
The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window.
Oh, you did that effortlessly.
It's not bad. I had a fair bit left in the old lungs there. A kind of a murder mystery suspense show on Netflix. 8 episodes, I think. They're probably half-hour episodes.
Sure.
So they don't outstay their welcome, which is really good. And they don't outstay their welcome because it's a parody on that whole situation. Like, you will often see books, like her reading books, that are sort of like, you know, girl on the train kind of thing, but girl on the bus.
The girl with a dragon tattoo.
That's right, all that sort of stuff. And she is one of those wonderfully unreliable narrators, but so obviously so, because she pours whole bottles of red wine into massive glasses, sits down, stares out the window while she's also on prescription drugs, and then she thinks she's seen a murder.
Right.
And the police come because she calls the police. She's, you know, panicking. I can see a murder. Quick, quick. A woman's getting, she's been stabbed in the neck. You've got to come. She's looking at the neighbours across the road. And then they arrive and they say, have you had a bit of a party? And she says, well, I like to have a glass or 12 every day. And they say, because no one's dead. And you're like, is really no one dead, or is someone dead? Is she? Did she see it? Did she not see it? Did she do it herself and thinks that somebody else did it? Oh, it was very good. It was just so good to see Kristen Bell in something again. Sure. She's really cool. And there's this one, so everybody plays really quite seriously. Like they're really acting as if they are in a proper murder mystery series until Mark Evan Jackson shows up.
Right.
And he is doing I'm being hilarious, which is funny and everything, but it almost at that point where if you weren't sure if it was a parody, you were sure then.
Sure.
He plays like this lighthouse guy, but he's dressed like an old sailor from like the 1920s or something. It's really good. It's super easy to get through. Like I said, there's only 8 episodes, half hour. I don't even think they're half hour, to be honest with you. And I'm gonna attempt it again. I'm not even gonna do a breath. I'm just gonna talk. I'm just gonna say it right now, right? No breath whatsoever. The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window. That one was a bit hard.
Puffed. Well, I watched something that was difficult to get through, but I still enjoyed it. But to recommend it comes with an asterisk.
Okay.
So I finally got around to watching The Stand.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which, you know, I was very excited for a long, long time and have I read that book in like 1990-something.
You've read it a couple of times, right?
And I've read it every second year since then, the whole way through. I love the expanded editions. You know, it was old when I was born.
Yeah.
I think it was already on the second edition or something like that where it was updated.
It was set in the 80s. I remember that.
So originally it was set in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Then when he redid it, it was set in the 80s.
Right.
And there was a TV adaptation, very late 80s, early 90s, that had Rob Lowe and Gary Sinise,
Molly Ringwald, yeah, that's right.
Really, you know, a solid cast of big names, almost entirely miscast. Mm. You know, like it was, let's get big names rather than let's get right names.
Yeah, I get you.
This new version, it's it's conceived, whatever, by Josh Boone, who is the guy that did, I think, Fault in the Stars, but he also did New Mutants. And he's had a good track record with working with some angsty teenagers and this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that clearly played into his development of the show because, all right, so the book starts with, for my opinion, one of the best in media res beginnings of anything of some guys are sitting around at a gas station and a car crashes into them and we find out that the guy driving the car has escaped from a government medical research facility.
Laboratory, yeah.
That got put into lockdown and he got out before the gate shut.
Yeah, because he wanted to go and see his family.
No, he goes and grabs the family and then just hightails it across the country.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And spreads it everywhere. And kills everyone. Instantly.
Yep.
So this show starts pretty much with them having already travelled across halfway to the country when the survivors, so the 0.4 or 0.6% of the population that's left, everyone has dreams and you either dream of Mother Abigail, a 108-year-old black woman in Nebraska,
yeah,
in cornfield, like that, yeah. Or you dream of the walking dude, Randall Flagg, the bad man, whatever, and you go to Vegas.
Mm.
And it's not – Vegas isn't necessary – in the book isn't – I'm bad. I want to live a debaucherous life. It's I want order. I want structure.
Mm.
So engineers, mathematicians, all of that, they are instinctively drawn to that side. So this new version of the show begins with people already split up.
Oh, I don't like that.
And we flash back Lost style.
Oh, right, okay.
Which is hilarious because Lost is so influenced by The Stand that it's a whole Aruba-ous thing there. But, yeah, we flash back a lot. And in a lot of these flashbacks is where we have some of the bigger names appear. So Heather Graham is in one episode. J.K. Simmons is in one episode. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of big names that pop up for a few scenes and die.
Yeah.
Because that's what everyone does.
Yeah.
It is very difficult to recommend because – The reordering of the story and doing everything in flashback, I followed because I know the story so well.
Mm.
But I would be loath to try and show that to someone who didn't know what was going on to try and have them latch on to anything because, yeah, it's cool, but we're still in a pandemic now, and so watching something that's about so many people dying, hard. Watching something about the government's poor reaction to this situation, hard. There's all this sort of stuff that constantly pulls you out of the story of there. So clearly, you know, they put this out December 2020. That's how long it's taken me to actually get around and watch it because it's been and you can tell that they re-edited and maybe lost some bits.
Yeah, right, okay.
Because they had a couple of months during lockdown and stuff. But, yeah, it's not good.
That's
as a
shame.
Show by itself.
That's a shame. Do you think it's got a lot to do with the – it sounds like they wanted to go for a lot of flashbacks instead of just starting the story a little bit earlier. Would it have worked if it was a chronological thing so that each episode focused on different people?
Look, honestly.
Because that's a large chunk of the book, right? That whole build up.
Yeah, it's the first third. Mm. And the best adaptation of The Stand, Marvel did a 31-issue series. And that's honestly how much time it took to storyboard and give everything. It's hard to talk about this stuff without spoiling elements.
Yeah.
One of the key characters in the book is a guy named Nick Andros. And when we first meet him, he's deaf and mute. Deaf mute. And he gets attacked on the road constantly by
baddies
and assholes and gets one eye horribly scarred, so he has to wear an eye patch. He becomes the voice of Mother Abigail. Now, in the book, he's a fascinating character because we live in his head and we understand his internal narrative and logic and why he's saintly figure, because we understand what's going on in this person. And in the show, he's just a miserable fuck. Do you know what? Like, we get none of what make him this beautiful, rich, sacrificial character. You know, he's Jesus. We get none of that.
Mm.
That's all taken away. Then there's a character named Tom Cullen, who's legit one of my favorite characters, but he's problematic as hell because, you know, this book was written in the 70s. Clearly under the influence of a lot of cocaine. So there's deaf-mute characters. There is a lot of handicapped, or worse people. And Tom Cullen is, in the book, a simpleton that's quite clearly based on Lenny and George from Of Mice and Men.
Yep.
So he's paired up with Nick Andros, deaf-mute.
Yep.
And he's the gentle, and he's the, oh, laws, yes, oh, laws, M-O-O-N, that spells danger.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is M-O-O-N, that spells. They update the character to make it a bit more appropriate for today, which is great, and it's played by a guy named Brad William Henke, who was the gay corrections officer on Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's been in a bunch of stuff as a really good supporting player, and he does a good job with this, but it's, hello, lady, my name is Tom Cullen. Please do not be disturbed or threatened by my social behavior. I am developmentally challenged, and I have trouble interacting in social circumstances. And so he has something that he's obviously been trained by a carer or something to recite when meeting new people. And the first few times that happens, you're like, oh, this is cool. And then it keeps fucking happening.
Stop saying it.
And you're like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it. This is what you've determined his character trait is. It's awkward.
It's a long
time. But, like, he's so vital to the story that you couldn't change.
Yeah.
It's really awkward. And like, they make him heroic. But at the same time, it's not quite.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know how to express that in words.
It's not, I can't remember the character's name, but in Tropic Thunder.
Simple Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly, yeah. It could have been that. And it's originally played in that style.
Yeah.
Again, giving a bit, he is the perfect person to be a spy because he's not harboring ill thoughts. He's not covering anything up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's...
You kind of have me intrigued, but not at the same time.
Go read the book. Read the book. And after you read the book, you will want to watch every version of this you can because the book is fucking incredible.
It's very long, though.
It's so long. And there are huge chunks of that book that aren't in the show. So Ezra Miller can eat a giant dick, we've long established I'm not a big fan of his. Mm-hmm. They were clearly so excited that he was willing to be involved in the show that no one said, hey, can you knock that the fuck off? He plays a character named the Trash Can Man.
Yeah, right. That's him. Okay.
In the book, he's a pyromaniac who was in jail and
That is not what I thought the character would look like. Well, nothing.
He walks around the country exploding gasoline depots. That's what he's calling in life now that everything is gone.
Yeah.
And the walking dude asks him to come and be a lieutenant. Ezra's playing. For you. My life for you.
So he's trying to be Gollum.
Gollum mixed with Igor from Frankenstein. All of this. And then, you know, he finds an abandoned military complex and steals the top part of a warhead, a nuclear warhead, and drags it back in on like a cart. And by the end of the thing is completely decomposing from radiation poisoning, but it's still Ezra Miller going, yes!
So this season or show,
That's it. There's no more. Believe me when I say it ends.
How many episodes?
It was nine episodes.
It must have been long.
They're all about an hour.
Okay.
And it's weird because like that's as long as the show needed to be, but at the same time, it actually needs to be three seasons because the book
is so massive.
Stephen King wanted to write the American Lord of the Rings, and you can actually see where that that's the Fellowship, and that's Two Towers, and that's how the book is structured.
Mm.
So it would work fantastically as a trilogy of films. It would work fantastically as three seasons, but trying to narratively build the right thing, especially when you're doing flashbacks and stuff, it just fell apart.
Okay, so it's had two TV series. Mm. It's had a comic series. Mm. Someone's going to have another crack at it in the next, I don't know, 15, 20 years or something.
I'd love a great audiobook.
Mm.
An audiobook, a performed audiobook, I mean.
Sure. Like the Sandman one. Yep. Yeah, cool. All right.
Anyway, I've just talked about The Stand for a long time, which I love doing, but it pains me.
Yeah, but I will say, though,
you love James Marsden.
Mm-hmm. James and he's Marsden. In it, right? He's the bloke,
the
right?
The bloke. Yeah. He's Stu Redman.
Yeah, right.
And cool. Every man. It is him playing his best hillbilly via the city.
I'm just trying to remember it's not too spoilery. I'm just because people who know will know, but he's the one that goes through the tunnel, right? And it's pitch black.
No, that is.
That's the other bloke.
Yes. So Stu finds Glenn, who's played by Greg Kinnear.
Okay.
And he's the older philosopher type
guy. Yep.
And then you've got Larry Underwood, who originally is a white Bruce Springsteen type up-and-coming drug addict musician. And in this, he's a hip-hop rapper.
Okay.
And it's played by Jovan Adepo from Overlord, and he's great.
Mm.
And he's the one that pairs up with Heather
Graham.
He goes
through the tunnel. Okay. Yeah. Ah, okay.
And
yep.
Is
yeah.
I don't enjoy it in the book.
It's very long.
Yes.
Like in a stressful way.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to now talk it's a really bad segue. I'm going to now talk about a show that came out last year.
Right. 2021.
2021 on HBO. So I watched it here on Foxtel. You could probably watch it binge as well. Mm. It's called The White Lotus.
Mmm. You checked in.
I checked in. Murray Bartlett, Aussie bloke, main character Armand. Brilliant. He's very stressed out and gets considerably even more so for reasons as the season progresses, he unravels, and I loved it. I thought he was brilliant.
Nice.
He's one of those actors that you see the face and you're like, what have I seen you in? What have you been in?
You.
I know you. You've been in a few things. And I reckon it's because he was in a Sex and the City episode and I probably just watched it a few times. I think that's what it was. But Jennifer Coolidge is in there.
Mm.
She's brilliant. She plays a more developed and realised character than Stifler's mum.
Sure.
Very needy. Very needy.
Mm. I've heard rumours that she's the only guest confirmed back for season two.
I wouldn't be surprised because there's – I wouldn't be surprised. Sydney Sweeney's in it. She's got such a distinctive voice, Sydney Sweeney. She looks very different from Handmaid's Tale, but very similar to Euphoria.
Okay.
And that other show, I can't remember. It was on Netflix. I only had one season in it. But she's one of those actresses that you're like, oh, for the next 10 years, you're going to be in everything. And you're not going to be like the main star. So you're just going to get steady, continuous work. Your IMDb is going to look very good. She picks really, really good stuff. Steve Zahn, who has been in stuff all the time, got a bit of a dad bod going on, which I really like because that character should have that. If you haven't seen it, just watch it. I think there's only like maybe 8 episodes. Yep. It's really, really good. It's crazy. Some of the characters, like Jake Lacey's character, I can't remember his name right now, but he is that American guy that no one wants to be on a plane, in a restaurant, just anywhere with. Particularly, you don't want to be associated with him because he wants to speak to the manager. Mm. Yeah, that one. White Lotus, so glad I watched it. Annoyed I took so long to get to it.
Nice.
Yeah. You got anything else?
That'll do for today. We've talked a lot.
Yeah, I reckon we're good for now. So it's now time to get on to the quiz. Very easy for you, Tom. Please leave a small gap for those playing at home.
Sure.
It's called What Superhero Did This Actor Play?
So all right.
I'm just going to go through a whole heap of them.
Yes.
Some of them
you won't
may see. Have a few different.
Okay. Oh.
So I reckon for you, you're going to have to say both.
Okay. I think I already know who that might be.
Halle Berry.
Well, whilst playing a superheroine,
mm-hmm.
she discovered what happens to toads when they're hit by lightning. Do you know what the answer is? The same thing as everyone else. It's the worst line. So she plays Storm.
Yes.
In X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men 2 and X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Mm-hmm.
But she was also, Catwoman?
She was.
Yeah.
She was Catwoman. She had her own movie.
Yes, she Catwoman. Was in the Catwoman movie.
Yeah. Yeah, all right, well
I didn't
done.
Watch that.
No, I didn't think you would.
No, I heard it was not good.
It's kind of like in the early 90s when Demi Moore was like the talk of the town in Hollywood, right?
Sure.
And then people.
G.I. Jane.
Yeah, G.I. Jane. People like, don't watch that. So people didn't. Seth Rogen. The pause. You can't see his facial expression, but he knows it the minute I finish saying N.
And then I do my impression of Tom Holland keeping a frog in my mouth. See, his resting face is. So that's what I'm doing right now. It's funny that I should talk about frogs because Seth Rogen, very green with envy
very good.
Over this role. Some people didn't like it. I really enjoyed this.
You enjoyed
one.
It? I didn't see it.
It was great fun.
Mm.
A lot of fun with the Green Hornet.
Green Hornet from 2011.
And it's directed by, is it Gondry? Was it?
I'm not sure.
Someone bizarre like that. Might be Spike Jonze. I don't know. I can't remember. Someone you don't expect to direct that sort of movie.
Do you think it would be worth a watch now or is it a bit old?
Okay. I mean, look, it's not anything wrong with it. If it's on, sure.
Yeah.
I think it was parodying and making fun of a lot of superhero conventions before the public was used to the conventions enough for it to be.
Yeah, right, okay.
Parody. So
interesting.
It might
hold up.
I haven't seen it in years and it might hold up really well today.
What about Edward Norton? We've talked about Fight Club.
Edward Norton.
It's like Tajay.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
Notoriously difficult. You could say he's got a few rage issues.
Very
he's
good.
A little bit protective of the script.
Yeah.
When I say protective, he rewrites it and then makes everyone do what he said. So that's why he only got to play the Hulk once.
Yeah, fair enough. So
we
that,
say once.
Yeah.
Still potentially he might pop up in Buddy Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, you never
Multiverse
know.
Multiverse of Madness.
Never know. Was he before or after Eric Bana?
After.
Eric Bana.
Bana. The Barna Saga. I believe that Hulk came out in around 2003. That was the one directed by Ang Lee.
Yep.
A lot of doves getting out of the way.
Was there? Okay.
And then 5 years later, 2008, is when The Incredible Hulk, starring Edward Norton for the one time. Mm. Interestingly, Mark Ruffalo was originally offered the part, and then when Edward Norton agreed, it was taken away from him and given to Norton.
Who got the last laugh there?
Fuck yeah. Fuck you, Edward Norton.
What about James Marsden?
James Marsden. Mm. We have been talking a bit about him today, haven't we?
Unintentionally as well. Well, sort of.
We've seen him play a robot. Mm-hmm. We've seen him play a human accomplice for Sanek.
For what?
Sanek. Gotta go fast, Sanek.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm.
Don't mind me.
I'm entertaining myself by saying words wrong.
I was.
What else have we seen bloody James Marsden in? Enchanted?
Yeah, he was in Enchanted.
He's going to be in Disenchanted or whatever the sequel's called.
Well, there can't be Disenchanted because isn't Disenchanted that the
maybe it's Disenchantment or something. I don't know. James Marsden, of course, he's well known for looking at the world through rose-coloured glasses, playing Cyclops in the X-Men films.
Was he in a lot of them?
He was in the first three, same as Halle Berry.
All right.
But I think that's about it because Ty Sheridan took over when they were younger.
Sure. Mm. Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup.
That's an interesting last name, isn't it?
It is. Mm. It's everyone's far more preferable version of Daniel Day-Lewis. For my take, Billy Crudup pops up. I'm like, oh, there's something Daniel Day-Lewis didn't want to commit 12 months to.
He's a bit younger though, isn't he?
He's a little bit younger, but he does similar, he's got a bit of a vibe about
him. Yeah, he does. Like he definitely does.
I can't believe how much of that dude's dong I've seen.
Well done. Yep. There you go.
Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen.
2009 film version, of course, we are referring to.
And he also...
He was in Almost Famous. He was in Almost Famous, lead singer, right?
He also played the Flash's father, Ezra Miller's father, in, I want to say, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Okay.
But he's been recast because he wasn't interested in coming back.
Oh, no, Billy Crudup. Very Billy Crudup of you. Or very Daniel Day-Lewis of you.
Incredible.
Okay, we've got final one. This one is very easy. So I reckon just
try
say
and
it.
Stump
no,
me.
Nah, just say it. Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell. I thought you were going to go for a different Chris then.
No, there's
so
a lot of Chris's.
Many, many, many to choose from. Now, Chris O'Donnell, he's been busy with...
Has he? He's been busy?
LL Cool J. He and the two of them star on...
Like a cop show?
Yeah, it might be like NCIS LA or Law and Order Hollywood or something along those lines.
Hmm.
Chris O'Donnell is in there, unflappable as always. But you become unflappable when you grow up as the faithful ward of the Caped Crusader. He did originally play Robin, and he was set up to play Nightwing, but the storyline didn't quite progress to Nightwing yet.
He never got there. NCIS Los Angeles.
There you go, NCIS Nightwing, owner of the best butt in comic books.
Okay. Maybe that's why it didn't. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe Chris O'Donnell doesn't have the best butt in Hollywood.
Hey.
Or didn't.
Hey.
I don't know.
Hey.
Hey.
They put nipples on the outside.
Yeah,
the
that
suit.
Was weird.
They could shape a butt.
What was the point of that? No one needed that. Wasn't there a point where they went, you know what, that doesn't... But they just went, that doesn't look right. Can you just go back and, like, sandpaper it off or something? It doesn't look right.
It's wrong.
Well done. 6 for 6. A nice fun one, and a nice way to look back on the lesser known superhero actors and actresses.
Sure,
well, they're all actors, aren't they?
There's plenty of we can go deep in that. Alec Baldwin in The Shadow, Liam Neeson as Darkman.
I mean,
I'm going back.
You really are. I could have gone
Warren Beatty as
Dick Tracy.
Good.
sort of a superhero, but like, it's like still based on comics, so yeah. It makes sense, right?
Yeah, man.
Dustin Hoffman in that is a lot.
Mm.
Madonna just sings songs and has Madonna hair.
Damon Wayans in Blank Man.
Really?
Blank Man.
I don't know Blank Man at all. From when? Like 90s? Mm-hmm. No. Oh.
I think it's Damon. I'm pretty sure it's Damon. It's not Marlon.
Who is the original Spawn? Oh. Like, not original, but like the 90s one. Who did that?
Michael J. White.
Yeah, right.
Who?
Huh.
Martial arts gold.
I remember watching that. It was the last of three films. You know when you used to have those midnight trilogy movies?
Yep.
It was the last of three. Oh, I struggled through that. I think one of them was Scream 3. Which one was the one with Chris O'Donnell? Not Chris O'Donnell.
Scott Foley. Scott Foley.
Who was...
From Felicity.
Felicity. What about the one... So in Scream...
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah,
I think he's in the third one.
As well.
I think that was the third one's
the one taking the piss out of Hollywood.
Yeah, okay.
And it's with Stab, where they're making, I think, Stab 6 or something like that.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Well done. Very well done, everybody involved in Scream 3, and well done to you as well, Tom.
Thanks.
Fantastic work. On that note, thank you very much.
M-O-O-N, that spells finished.